You need a resurrection. Somebody needs to put a little bit of heart pumping on you. In our text, the Bible speaks about Israel. Israel has been rescued from Egypt, and they are to walk with God and to follow the Lord by faith. However, since they've exited Egypt, they have constantly doubted the power, the promises, and the presence of God on their journey. Their entire attitude of the heart of the Israelis is summed up in just a two-word question. Can God? God would do something. God would bring the rushing water out of the stone. And then they said, but can God give us bread? God would give them bread. And then they would say, can God give us flesh? What a stubborn and stiff-necked people these folks were. They must have had Baptists in them somewhere. And we see here that they asked the question, can God? And in many ways, we are like a lot like Israel. We often ask the question, can God? Now, we wouldn't be so flagrant to say, can God, because we know who God is. He is God Almighty, and there is nothing he can't do. But I think what we might be asking, can God do it for me? Or will God do it for me? You see, I want to share just a few thoughts from this scripture of Psalms this morning about God can. First of all, I think we should consider the condition of the people. Notice in verse 20 of Psalm 78, the Bible says, behold, he smote the rock, and the waters gushed out of the streams overflowed. Can he give us bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Down in verse 41, the Bible says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. It's amazing that God's people limited God. And when we look at that, I think sometimes it's easy for us to be very cynical and judgmental. But I wonder how often we ourselves, in doubting and wavering in what we've asked, have limited the Holy One in our own life. Here we see a people who are called after the name of God. Here we see a people who have should have trusted God without any reservations or fears. Yet they seem to be completely ignorant about the power of God and the Almighty God who's in their midst. Isn't that a lot like us today? God who has done so much for us, God who has blessed us so, God who has done things that we would never be able to achieve or to excel or to do upon ourselves. Instead of trusting God, instead of going deeper in our faith and living for him, we begin to worry, we begin to waver, we begin to fret. It doesn't have to be that way. We have a God whom we can trust without reservation and without fear. In John 20, verse 27, the Bible says, then saith he to Thomas, remember Thomas, he missed out when the Lord revealed himself. And remember Thomas said, I'll not believe he's resurrected till I touch the scars in his hands. And the Bible says that he says to Thomas in John 20, verse 27, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. He says, reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. That's where that Roman spear had pierced his side. And thrust it into my side. And look what he says. And be not faithless, but believing. We see that these people were a faithless people. They had seen God do so much. They had seen God just deliver them from the most strong, the most powerful person on the face of this earth. They had seen him and through the obedience of Moses deliver them out of the hands of Pharaoh. They were a faithless people. As we look at their condition, not only were they faithless, but they were forgetful. They were forgetful people. In verse 7, the Bible says that they might see their hopes in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Down in verse 42, notice he says, they remembered not his hand, nor the day which he delivered them from the enemy. It seems that the nation Israel just could not remember all the wonderful, miraculous things God had done in their very midst. And I want us to pause And I want you to think about what God has done in your life. How God provided that person that you long for. How God raised up that person that the doctors had already said were no longer optimistic. How God supplied that need just in the perfect moment and right time. How often we are to forget the blessings. We sing hymns, count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God had done. But then we, like Israel, we have forgotten. The nation Israel was suffering from a forgetful heart. They had forgotten how he had delivered them from Egypt and by all the plagues that took place. They had forgotten how he parted the Red Sea for their escape from the Egyptian army. They had forgotten how he made the waters of Marah sweet and clear and pure and no longer bitter. They had forgotten how he had destroyed the Egyptian army for their behalf. They had forgotten how he proved himself to be the all-powerful God time and time again. They were forgetful, and they had forgotten the mighty power that God had showed, that they had witnessed firsthand with their own eyes and seen what God had done. How many times have we forgotten how God has come through for us? How many times have we forgotten the times that he moved our mountains and he parted the waters for us? Oh man, he's moved a lot of mountains in my life. He's parted a lot of waters in my life. How many times have we forgotten that he healed our affliction and our suffering and our difficulties of life? How many times have we forgotten the times that he spoke peace in the midst of our storm? How many times have we forgotten that he met the needs and did the impossible and proved himself to be God Almighty in our life? How many times have we forgotten? We need to take a look back this morning, and we need to remember the wonderful, magical moments and miracles that God has done for us. We need to take inventory. We need to remember the Lord's power for when the next storm begins to blow and blow in. These stubborn people, these Israelites, they were a faithless people. They were a people who would forget. But then notice they were a people who were foolish, a foolish people. By asking, can God? What an insult. Think about that. What an insult. Can God? I think about when my children were young and they would ask something, and I'd say, yeah, we can do that. And they knew if Dad said we can do it, we could do it. We'd do it. Our grandkids, you know, I'm the yes we can man. Can we? Yeah, we can do it. Whatever you're going to say, we'll just go do it. I like being that guy. I was hard enough on my kids. It's my kids' job to be hard on their kids. It's for me to be the yes we can guy. Papa, can we? Yes, we can. We absolutely can. Can't we? Yes, we can. You see, these were foolish people. They've proved their foolish ignorance by asking the question. You always have that teacher said, there are no dumb questions. I've always proved them wrong. And this is true here as well. What a dumb question. This same scene was played out many times during the course of Israel as they were wandering in the wilderness and after they finally arrived into Canaan. Remember when the spies were sent out, the 12 spies were sent to Canaan. And while there, they faced a race of people who were giants. And when the 10 faithless spies saw the giants, they came back. And in Numbers 13, verse 33, they said, and there we saw the giants. In the latter part, it says, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. They were comparing themselves to these inhabitants of the land. And they saw the sons of Anak, who were giants. And they said, what chance do we have against them? This is no way stacked up even fair for us. We are like grasshoppers in the presence of these people. And what they had done is they cut out the equation, or they cut God out of the equation. And I want you to know, when God is in the equation, we are on the winning side. If he is for us, who can be against us? You see, they were complaining and they were comparing themselves to giants and leaving God completely out. We consider the condition of the people. They were a faithless people, they were a forgetful people, and they were a foolish people. But consider, if you would, the character of their God. I'm so glad the choir sang that this morning. I know God has always been good, but it just seems lately he's just been extra good. He's raised Debbie Vaughn up. That was God that did that. He's met some specific needs in your life. That was God that did that. When God saved us and when he washed away all our sins, listen, if he never did another thing for us, he would be good. Amen. And we see here that we look at the character of God as we have considered the condition of the people. Notice, first of all, his promises. In verse 5, the Bible says, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." Look what he says. "That they might set their hope in God." What's that hymn? "My hope rests in him and nothing less than Jesus Christ." "That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." Israel had seen God's keep his word time and time again. Let me tell you something, my friend. If God writes it in his word, you can take it to the bank. This book is infallible. This book is without error. This book is inspired. This book is preserved. This book is the word of the living God. And we can see that he keeps his promises. Israel had seen God keep his word time and time again. God had always been faithful to do exactly what he promised to them. God hasn't changed. He stays the same. He's the same God yesterday and today and forever. And he is still the God who keeps his word. Everything God has promised, he will do. The Bible tells us in Romans 4, verse 21, "And being fully persuaded that what he hath promised, he was able also to perform." Titus 1, verse 2 says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." We see his character. We see a character of his promises. But notice the character of his performance. In verse 4, he tells us, "We will not hide them from their children," and showing to the generation to come the praise of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. They are going to reveal his performance, his strength, and his wonderful works. He says in verse 12, "Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoran." Throughout their history, Israel had enjoyed the presence and the power of Almighty God. Do you know who our God is? If you're a child of God, do you know who you have in him? He's not just the way, he's the end. He's not just the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And we see here that throughout all history, Israel had enjoyed the presence and the power of the Almighty. Time and time again, God had demonstrated his power for his people. Imagine, would you? Would you imagine with me? Imagine seeing God part the Red Sea. Imagine coming out of your dwelling place in manna dropping from heaven every day for 40 years. Imagine seeing God defeat your enemies right before your eyes. Imagine the wheels coming off those chariots and the soft bed of that Red Sea. and the waters receding back. Imagine seeing God's glory as he came down upon the tabernacle. How powerful and perhaps frightening that could be experienced. Imagine the pillar of cloud to screen the hot sun off of our backs during the day and to be our compass to lead us on our way. And the pillar of fire at night, God's blanket to keep us warm. What a God we have. Imagine, if you would, the goodness that he has shown us. God has proven himself time and time again to his people. Look back over the years and remember the times that Jesus displayed great power. There's been a few times in my life that I've cried out to him and said, God, this is Rick. And he spoke back to me, I know who you are, my son. And I said, God, unless you step in here, this can't be fixed. Oh, God, if I could shed my blood to fix it, I would. If I could throw money at it and fix it, I would. But God, I need you to manifest yourself. We look back over the years and we can remember the times God has showed himself. He's proven himself to you and to me repeatedly. We see his character. Notice his promises. We notice his performance. But notice his absolute power. Throughout their history, Israel's history, God had proven that he was stronger than any obstacle that came in to their way. He was more powerful than the Egyptians. He was more powerful than those at the walls of Jericho. He was more powerful than the Amalekites. He proved himself to be greater than their thirst. He proved himself to be greater than their hunger. He was able to overcome all they faced with his great power. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, "Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Can I tell you this? You may have a great burden today. You may have a great sorrow today. Maybe it's so painful. Maybe it's so difficult you can't even share it. You don't want to share it. Maybe it's a shameful thing. And you wonder, when is God going to step in? When is God going to move? When is God going to reveal himself? When is God going to shake the heavens to see this turn around? I want you to know, friend, you don't know what God is doing. You don't know how God... Listen, they didn't know how Saul of Tarsus was being pricked by the Holy Spirit. At the very time he was saved, he was meaner than a junkyard dog. And we see here that we see the power of God that he can do. He tells us, "Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, or even what we think, according to the power that worketh in us." When we look at God's character, we see his promises, we see his performance, we see his power. But let me tell you this, he reveals his patience. God is patient. I'm not patient. Don't make me mad. I'm not a patient person. I hate theme parks. I hate them. I'm not going to stand in line for nothing like that, especially that's going to make me have a heart attack. Those rides and all those crazy stuff. I'm not patient. I go in the restaurant. If they say it's going to be 45 minutes, there's too many restaurants here. I'd rather drive 45 minutes trying to find another one. I'm not patient. I'm not patient. I don't go to McDonald's any longer. I haven't for a long time. But when I pull up to the window, it's fast food. And when they say, "Can you please pull up and we'll bring," I know I cannot. This is fast food. I want my burger and my fry. And Debbie says, "Oh, great. That's great. Let me look through the food now." I'm not patient, and neither are you. So quit feeling so big about yourself. But I want you to know we have a God who keeps his promises, who has a tremendous, powerful performance, who is all-powerful and who is patient. Look what he says in verse 38. "This touched my heart because I think I see myself here. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Listen, he could have said, and they'd been gone. Can God? I'll show you what God can. But he didn't. He was patient. He says, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time, you should underline that, turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. While God continued to show himself strong on behalf of the people of Israel, Israel continued lacking faith to trust in their Lord. Notice the phrase, many a time, he turned his anger away multiple and multiple and multiple times. I wonder how many times God has had to turn his judgment for me and for you. He was patient with them. He led them along in love and in grace. Aren't we thankful that we serve a gracious, patient God? Now we've noticed the condition of the people. We've noticed the character of their God. But let's consider the challenge for you and me. There's a challenge found here for you and me. Notice verse 6. The Bible says that the generation to come might know him, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Now look carefully, that they might set their hope in God. Let me ask you something. Where's your hope at tonight or this morning? Man, if we can fix it, let's do it. But I'll tell you what, there's some things that are so messed up that we just need God. He's the only one who can do it. He's our hope. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. God hates stubbornness. God hates rebellion. There is witchcraft. A generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. What is it saying, Pastor? It's saying that our hope, verse 7, needs to be in God. Don't forget the great works he's done in the past. Walk with him, keep his commandments. And it's saying, put away your stubbornness and your rebellion and be steadfast with God. Walk with God. What are the challenges to us? Well, first of all, let me say we must have confidence in God. You know, I believe that I have pretty much lost all confidence in myself. I was talking to my Sunday school class this morning. We're reading a book. We're just about done. I have one chapter left. And I thought I had sent them the wrong chapter to read. There's some confusion there, and I had my phone there, so I put in, and it was right. But I'm not going to argue with you. I'm probably wrong. I'm wrong all the time. Aren't I, Debbie? And she's innocent, just sitting there. The problem with us, we're both wrong most of the time, half the time. We don't trust ourselves or each other now. But listen, we need to put our confidence in God. He tells us in Mark 11, verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Where's your confidence at today? Psalm 62, verse 8 says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Jesus told his disciples in John 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." These verses teach us that we are to trust him for every circumstance and situation that we're in. When people are wringing their hands and when people are desperately doubting what they're going to do and they start asking, "Can God?" we need to stand forth and cry out, "God can! Yes, he can." King Darius wondered if God could deliver Daniel out of the pit of the lions, but the next morning he found out that God can. Nebuchadnezzar questioned whether God could deliver the three Hebrew boys out of the fiery furnace, and he soon saw a fourth man in there that was like in the image of God. And he found out that God can. The disciples were in the ship in the midst of the storm, and they stood in amazement when Jesus came walking on the water and stood there and rebuked the winds and waves and said, "Peace, be still." And they discovered even the winds and waves obey his will. God can. The widow Zarephath, along with Jairus and Mary and Martha, came to realize that even after death, God can. Ha. Lazarus, come forth. We must have confidence in God. Then secondly, we must carry out God's commandments. He says, "Forget not the works of God," verse 7, "but keep his commandments." Now listen to me, and listen to me well. Genuine faith in the Lord always manifests itself in obedience to the Lord. When people say, "I want to just have the blessings of God, and I want to walk with God, and I want to do the will of God," and they're walking in disobedience, they don't want any of that stuff. Hey, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And when we get into his word, that's where the battles are won. When we get into his word and allow his book to lodge in our hearts, changing us, then we learn to trust him more and more. Remember God's character this morning. Remember, God can supply your need. God can overcome your obstacles. God can empower and strengthen you. Are you without Christ today? Won't you come? Because I want you to know God can save you. And if you'll come to him today, you'll see that to be true. And let me say to you, if you're a child of God and you're just barely putting one foot in front of the other, let me tell you, you go deeper in your faith. You walk in obedience to what God tells you to do, because God is not finished writing your story. It looked pretty dismal for Israel, but let me tell you, they did cross the Jordan and they did inhabit the Promised Land. Promised Land is not heaven. The old song, "I won't have to cross Jordan alone," speaking of death, is unbiblical. The Promised Land is victorious Christian living among the heathens and pagans we are accompanied with. But I want you to know, friend, whatever your burden, whatever your sorrow, whatever your difficulty, don't question God. Because I want to tell you right now, by the authority of the Word of God, God can. And he can do it in your life. You walk with him. You love him. You be steadfast with him. Put yourself in a position where you can have the blessings of God on your life. You can't compromise your life. You can't live in the world and play church on Sunday and expect things to work out. Consecrate yourself to God. Hope in God. Who else do we have to hope in? By the way, it's not a hope like we hope we go to the zoo, we hope we get an ice cream. It's a hope that's secured. It's a no-so hope secured in Jesus. God can. Would you stand with me? This morning would be a good time for you to find a place at the altar. I have found that my refuge and the strong tower, the bridge to the strong tower, for me has always began at the altar. With a brokenness and a desperate spirit, knowing how much I need God to step in. I want to tell you, God can. No matter how bad it seems, no matter how dark it is, no matter where you've been, what you've done, what you're in, God can. But you need to acknowledge that. You need to see His power, claim His promises, and acknowledge His presence. Lord, meet our need this morning. Lord, these things You've told the disciples, this kind only cometh by fasting and prayer. There are some burdens in our heart. There's some sorrow that we have that just a quick stroll to the altar and a prayer is not going to fix it. But that's where it begins. There may be some things we need to empty ourselves of. We need to keep Your commandments. We need to reflect on what You've done in the past. I ask God that You would give people hope today. Help us to humbly come to the altar and acknowledge, God, I can't, but You can. This is my sorrow. This is my difficulty. Oh God, show Yourself strong. I'll walk with You. I'll serve You. Lord, I'm not doing a tit for tat or reasoning. I'm just saying, regardless, You've been good to me. But God, would You show Yourself in this area of my life? Lord, help our people today. Lord, this doesn't come without humbling ourselves. We must acknowledge the need. Lord, this doesn't come by just staying the same. But day in and day out, when we begin our day, when we end our day, and when we are awake in the middle of the night, may we cry out, God can. God can. And ask You to meet those needs. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm not going to be long. But I hope that you'll go deep in your faith this morning. I hope that you'll find a place here at the front, and begin the journey of seeing how God can take the bitter waters in the desert and make them pure and clean and fresh again for you to drink. God spoke into your heart. You have that great burden. Aren't you tired of bearing it alone? Come and come to Him now.